Water Music by Goddess 47. It rains in London. A lot. Enough that Severus placed a permanent impervious charm on his jacket and shoes. After the war, Severus took a deep breath, accepted his reluctantly given pardon from the Ministry of Magic, sold the house at Spinner's End, quit his job at Hogwarts, and went in search of a new life. Not that he went too far. He stayed just outside of London, finding a small home in a mixed muggle-wizarding neighborhood. He could operate a mail-order potions business from anywhere. His new life included an effort to get out and meet people, although that was mostly on his own terms. He finally settled on becoming a regular at a pub not too far from his home. The barkeep quickly learned what kind of drink he liked. The barmaid would ask if he wanted any food. He ate there occasionally to take a break from his own cooking. The other regulars quickly learned that Severus had a sharp tongue and a quick wit, but mostly wanted to be left alone. In self-defense, Severus learned about Muggle football and the local teams. Football was frequently on the telly in the pub, and when the home team was on a winning streak, which was often an incredible 2 games in a row, it was all anyone would talk about. "Careful going home," the barkeep gave a general warning as Severus shrugged on his jacket. It was, again, a rainy night.
"I will. Thank you," Severus nodded his head in reply.
Huddled in his jacket to appear to be trying to keep dry, he had cast a small warming charm on himself, Severus heard the sound of music. Not for the first time. Piano playing, to be exact. It was definitely a person playing from the stops and starts, but someone above amateur status from the complexity of the selections. Tonight, the music was coming from a small distance, so he only heard pieces of it. Occasionally, it was frustrated, as if the pianist struggled with the music. But tonight it was beautiful and lyrical. Classical, not something he was familiar with, but something he would like to hear more of. The sound drifted away as he drew closer to his home. He slept well that night. The next week was warmer and relatively sunny. Severus told himself he was just being sociable by going to the pub every night. He arranged his potions work so he would be free in the evening. To be sociable.
"Hey, Severus, welcome!"
The barkeep put Severus's regular pint of ale on the bar.
"What brings you out again tonight?"
"Telly on the fritz," Severus said.
He didn't have one, of course, but it was as good an excuse as any.
"Ah, too bad," the barkeep replied. "Anything special you want to watch?"
"No, thank you," Severus said. "Just," he cast about for an excuse, "wanted to see some news."
"Good enough then, lad,"
the barkeep laughed. Everyone was lad, and the barkeep really was older than most of the pub's clientele. When the barmaid asked about dinner, Severus said,
"I'll have the fish and chips."
That was something that he wouldn't make for himself anyway. Severus stayed later than he usually did, to see if that made a difference. Frustratingly, there was no music that week. A potions conference in France meant a week away from home. Severus returned to dusty furniture and stray papers stuck in the hedges. It took him all day to straighten up to his satisfaction.
"Severus, welcome back. We missed you."
The barkeep slid a pint on the bar. Severus was taken aback. While he knew some of it was hyperbole, he had never been missed before. That night, Severus even added his own comments to the general discussion about the local football team's chances to get to the playoffs. Marginal at best, but that would be another discussion for another time. Some of the others wished Severus a good night as he left the pub. Damn it, there it was! That music! Where was it coming from? Severus stood in the rain, trying to discern a direction. He turned slowly in place. Realizing he was cold, Severus renewed his small warming charm and forced himself to give up and go home.
"Mr. Snape, nice day for a walk,"
Mrs. Preebles chirped at him from her garden the next day.
Mr. Preebles was another regular at the pub, and Severus had had to suffer through an introduction to the Mrs. one evening as he encountered the man as Severus walked to the pub. Severus considered that she lay in wait for him to pass, to draw him into conversation about her garden. Mr. Preebles apologized one night.
"Sorry about the missus," he said,
signaling the barkeep to bring Severus another pint.
"She's all about her flowers, and I can barely tell a petunia from a rose. I've learned some, but it's good for her to have someone else to chat with occasionally, since it's hard for her to get out."
"It's not a bother," Severus admitted reluctantly.
If she had been a witch, Mrs. Preebles would likely never have earned more than an A on an herbology OWL. But, well, it was enough to make her happy.
"Good man,"
Mr. Preebles enthused. Trying to determine where the music came from became something of an obsession. Severus deliberately chose different routes to and from the pub to help determine what direction the music came from. He finally decided there had to be at least one home in the area under a Fidelius. It was the only reasonable explanation. Although the Fidelius wasn't supposed to let sound out, which made Severus reconsider that theory, he would have to do some research. Mrs. Preebles evidently had many friends in the neighborhood, and Severus found himself cheerily greeted as he walked to the pub. A few folk would come out to the street and introduce themselves, at which point Severus would briefly stop, listen, and chat. He told himself he was being sociable. Severus inadvertently admitted he was a chemist and that he created natural remedies.
"Mr. Snape, you must come to our garden club meeting."
Mrs. Preebles was too pleased with her own idea.
"We have several members who grow herbs and would love to hear how they could be used for your remedies."
"I doubt that I could do justice," Severus began.
"Tut, tut, you're being too modest,"
Mrs. Preebles interrupted him.
"Our next meeting is a week Wednesday at 2 p.m. You'll be perfect."
Which is how Severus found himself teaching a dozen muggle women how to make a variation of bruise paste that was plant-based and required no real brewing. A combination of dittany, lovage, native to southern Europe and slightly unfamiliar to the group, nettle, made into tea first, concentrated, and used as both an ingredient and as a binding liquid, and peppermint, to counter unwanted effects, made a simple but effective paste.
"Mr. Snape, this is excellent."
One of the women applied the paste to a small bruise.
"The peppermint makes it much less medicinal than some of the other ointments I've used."
"So glad you find it helpful," Severus replied.
He had a cup of tea and a scone balanced on a saucer, the meeting having progressed to the social part of the event. Mrs. Preebles had blithely handed him the tea and scone with a cheery,
"You must be thirsty from talking. Let me know if you need a refill."
Severus did take the opportunity to drop in oblique questions about the mysterious piano music. One of the older women, Mabel Wimmer,
"But you should call me Mabel,"
did make a remark about
"a very polite young man who lives down the block from me,"
who played the piano, which Severus noted with interest. He knew young would be relative, since she was one of the oldest members of the group. He did manage to figure out where she lived on one of his frequently taken routes to the pub.
"You go to the pub?"
Mabel asked with a wicked grin.
"The mister, bless his soul, used to go all the time when he was alive. It's good for a man to have something of his own."
"It is, indeed," Severus agreed.
Severus's walk to the pub was now focused on the blocks around Mabel's home. It was a wet afternoon before Severus heard the music on the way to the pub. It was gloomy, having rained all day, and most people were sensibly huddled inside. Severus stood, listening as the music drifted over him. It wasn't until a cold wind sprung up that Severus was forced to continue on his journey. Nursing a hot toddy and eating through a basket of crisps, Severus thought back through his trips to the pub. He had only heard the music when it was raining. There was something significant about the weather, that the pianist only played on rainy days. At the next garden club meeting, Mabel waved at Severus.
"I have someone I'd like you to meet."
"Potter? It's Evans now, but good to see you again, Professor."
Harry Potter gave a nod in greeting, his hands full of tea and biscuits.
Professor?
Mabel leaned in closer, clearly curious. Before I retired, I taught chemistry at a boarding school in Scotland. Severus had used that excuse enough that it came out smoothly.
Retired? Pish, you're just a youngster.
Mabel grinned. There were difficulties with the headmaster, Severus went on. Most of his acquaintances accepted the first part and didn't pursue the question any further. And it was time to move on.
His loss and our gain, Mabel replied. And how do you know Mr. Evans?
Mr. Evans was a student of mine. I have not seen him since I left the school, Severus answered. He turned to Potter. And how have you been, Mr. Evans?
Well, thank you, Potter replied. And please, call me Harry.
How did you get involved with this group? Severus asked. Mabel laughed.
My fault entirely. I was admiring Mr. Evans's roses, and happened to mention our little club, and how we could use more men in attendance.
Severus interpreted that to mean, I browbeat this poor young man for several weeks until he gave in.
Very glad you could join us, then, Severus replied.
Us? Harry asked. Severus gave a small shrug. After the meeting, at which Harry talked about his roses for a bit, Severus found himself asking,
Would you like to come out for a pint?
You? Out for a pint? That I have to see, Harry grinned. Severus gave Harry directions to the pub, and they agreed to meet after dinner.
There's a football game on tonight, Severus felt obligated to warn Harry. It may be a bit loud at times.
Even better, Harry agreed with a small laugh. I love that you know there's a football game tonight. Harry had arrived before Severus and was settled at a table away from the telly. Severus took the pint the barkeep handed him and went back to join him. The waitress came around and asked them if they wanted any food.
How about a plate of chips to share? Harry suggested.
Sure, love, she said. Just be a mo.
The food is good here, Severus opened. I eat here when I'm tired of my own cooking, or I want something that's not worth making for just one.
Good to know, Harry replied. How did you end up here?
Severus recounted his search for a modest home, and how Augusta Longbottom had mentioned that a friend of a friend had a small cottage for sale.
A wizard had owned it, evidently, but his wife was Muggle, so the house is perfect for either, Severus said. There's no basement, so I've turned one of the bedrooms into a potions lab.
I've heard you've been selling potions, Harry replied. Is that going well?
Very well, actually, Severus admitted. I have a steady commission from Hogwarts for the infirmary, and St. Mungo's recommends some of their patients to me for specialty work. It keeps me busy enough.
Not too busy, evidently, that you would have to refuse the Garden Club ladies, Harry laughed.
Severus found it easy to confess.
I'm making an effort to be sociable. Coming here regularly has helped me to meet people on my own terms.
Isn't it lovely to be normal? Harry's voice was soft.
Very.
The football game started, and the noise level in the pub rose exponentially, making any serious conversation difficult. But Severus found sitting in the back of the room with Harry Potter, Harry Evans, to be comfortable. The local team lost, to no one's real surprise. Drinks were finished up, and patrons started leaving.
I must go, Severus said. I have a potion that needs to be stirred at a precise time.
I'm ready also. We probably can walk part of the way together.
Harry left some money on the table for the barmaid.
I have an account.
Severus admitted to having paid for their pints.
I'll have to open one then.
Severus nodded at the barkeep, and they went out into the night. They were just beyond Mabel's house when Harry stopped.
This is me, 47 Forrester Lane.
A house that had been behind a Fidelius appeared on the street.
Since you're being sociable, you're welcome to come to lunch tomorrow, Harry offered.
Sorry, I have a meeting at St. Mungo's tomorrow.
Regretfully, Severus had to turn the offer down. Friday?
That'll work. It won't be fussy, so come when you're able to.
Harry gave a bright smile.
Friday lunchtime found Severus pressing the doorbell to Harry's house. Perfect timing, Harry greeted him. Come in.
Severus handed Harry a bottle of wine.
I've been promised it's a good wine for any meal, Severus said.
Harry took it with a grin.
We'll try it and see.
Harry led the way into the house.
This is bigger than I really need for just me, but it's not the monstrosity that Grimmauld Place is.
The light, airy home bore no resemblance to Grimmauld Place, Severus was glad to see.
It's almost a nice day, so I thought it would be better to use the sunroom in the back, Harry explained.
Severus followed Harry through the very modern and very muggle kitchen to a room that looked like it spanned the entire rear of the house. The room had windows on three sides that looked over the yard.
The trees help give an illusion of privacy.
Harry waved a hand at the surrounding greenery. Between the trees and the wards, I hardly know there's neighbors close by.
It is nice.
Severus was thinking of his modest yard and the garden he had. He had warded his own yard against intruders, but hadn't implemented anything else. Harry had been busy opening the wine and handing the bottle to Severus.
I have wine glasses somewhere, but the glasses on the table should be fine. If you would pour, I'll bring out lunch.
Lunch was a hearty chicken noodle soup and fresh, crusty bread.
This is exceptional bread, Severus said. Where do you get it?
Harry blushed.
Make it myself, he admitted. I use a bread maker to get it started, then finish it by hand for the heavier crust.
Bread maker? Severus asked.
Muggle device, Harry replied. It's quite clever, and makes any variety of bread you might like. I'll show you after lunch.
I'd like that.
Severus took another slice, slathering it with fresh butter. They compared notes on their immediate neighbors, discussing who was magical and who was muggle.
Don't let Mabel fool you, Harry smirked. She comes from a long line of wizards and witches, and I'm still not convinced she's a squib. She may not have had enough magic to be invited to a school like Hogwarts, but she's had some private tutoring somewhere along the way.
That explains a lot, Severus admitted.
Mabel knew the previous owners, who were wizards, and vouched for her, so I gave her access to the house, Harry elaborated, which explained how she knew about the roses.
Harry put together a different type of bread to show him how the bread maker worked.
You can make different types of bread depending on your ingredients, Harry said, putting together a bread based on whole wheat flour and onion seasoning. Unless I'm making something special, like for today, I let the unit knead the bread. It's easier on my hands.
Your hands? Severus asked before he could stop himself.
Harry held up his hands, which Severus could now see looked slightly off.
It's a combination of poor nutrition when I was young, spell damage, and arthritis, Harry said.
May I?
Severus asked, holding out a hand. Harry shrugged.
Sure. I've had both healers and muggle doctors look at them. No one has any good ideas on what to do.
Harry put his right hand in Severus's. Severus was immediately aware of how close they were, and how warm Harry's hand was. He forced himself to focus on the hand. Severus took his time, examining the hand, the tendons, and the joints.
Tell me if I hurt you.
You won't do it on purpose, Harry said softly.
Severus sucked in a breath at the trust in Harry's eyes. He returned to Harry's hand. The palm looked normal, but he could see the start of the damage arthritis would do. He rotated the hand to look at the back and...
What is this?
Severus demanded, gently running a thumb over the back of Harry's hand.
Umbridge, Harry sighed. She had a blood quill and used it, liberally. I was her favorite target. She'd make me write lines in detention.
Albus knew this,
Severus probed, as he touched the scarring. Harry shrugged.
At that point, I suspect not.
The other hand, please, Severus said.
Harry put his left hand up. It had similar arthritis damage, but nothing special stood out. The doctors at St. Mungo's say some of the problems are a result of poor nutrition when I was young, Harry said. The Dursleys regularly starved me. I didn't get regular meals unless school was in session, or at Hogwarts.
Blood quills are goblin artifacts, Severus said. I would like to consult with them to see if there is any known consequences of long-term use of a blood quill. Needless to say, they are not meant to be used for mundane tasks as writing lines.
Don't go out of your way for me, Harry demurred. I don't need a fuss made.
Don't be difficult, Severus scowled. First of all, someone else should have looked into it. Writing it off as spell damage is lazy and unwarranted. Secondly, while we cannot reverse all the damage done by poor nutrition at your age, we can slow any further damage and make sure you live to a ripe old age in comfort.
He refused to think about those hands touching him.
I'd appreciate that, then, Harry said softly.
Thank you.
I'll bring you a soothing lotion tomorrow, Severus said, thinking about what he had in stock and could make up relatively quickly. When I get an appointment with the goblins, I'll let you know.
I'm not exactly their favorite person, Harry warned. I've apologized and made reparations, but, well, don't be surprised if they don't want to help you.
Severus had heard rumors about what the Golden Trio had done during the war, and should not have been surprised that the goblins still held a grudge.
Did Umbridge use the quill on others? Severus asked.
I was her main victim, but she did use it on others, Harry admitted. I know about Lee Jordan for sure.
Then I can ask on behalf of a group of students, Severus replied. And in fact, if you have any names you can give me, that would also be helpful. Anything that's helpful to you will also be helpful to them.
Harry smiled widely at that. That would be great.
Severus realized he was still holding Harry's hand and tried to gracefully release it. Interestingly, Severus noticed that Harry blushed as they fumbled the release between them.
If you're coming back tomorrow, would you like lunch again? Harry asked.
I would, Severus admitted.
As they walked to the door, Harry waved a hand at the rest of the house.
I live in the back when the weather's even semi-decent. I use the front mostly on rainy days.
Severus stopped.
You're the piano player.
Harry blushed again. It helps me keep my hands limber, Harry said. They're especially painful in humid weather, and I found that playing the piano is a help.
I've been looking for you for weeks, Severus admitted before he realized how that sounded. Not you, but...
Harry laughed. I get it.
How do you manage the Fidelius so that no one can see the house, but the music escapes? Severus asked.
That's the piano, Harry admitted. Come and see it.
Harry led the way into the rooms at the front of the house. The view through the oversized bay window indicated that this was the very front of the house. A baby grand piano dominated the space. Four squishy-looking lounge chairs sat in front of an empty fireplace.
It's beautiful, Severus said.
Rosewood body, and phoenix feathers as strings.
Harry moved to sit at the bench. He lifted the door over the keys and played a simple run of notes. The sound was even more powerful up close.
It's magical, kind of like wands, Harry explained. Different combinations of wood and strings will give different sounds. I was lucky to get this one. I think Fawkes had been saving feathers for years for this.
Severus reached out and touched the wood.
I can feel the magic.
I'll play some tomorrow, Harry promised.
I will look forward to it, Severus replied.
When he got home, Severus wrote out a request to meet with someone from the goblins to discuss improper use of a blood quill by Dolores Umbridge on behalf of a handful of former Hogwarts students. He set the letter aside to mail in the morning. He hadn't needed to keep his own owl for mail and would have to go to the post office to have the letter sent. He went into his lab to brew the promised soothing lotion. The whole wheat onion bread Harry started the previous day was featured at lunch. It made elegant, yet hearty, toasted cheese sandwiches.
I have your lotion, but I'd like to apply it for you,
Sever said.
I want to make sure you don't have a reaction to it, and it also works best if the lotion is massaged into the skin.
How do you want to do this? Harry asked.
If you would sit in a comfortable chair, I can apply the lotion for you, Severus directed. You also need to let it set for an hour, so that means not doing anything after.
Harry fussed with chairs, finding an arrangement that would let Severus also sit when he applied the lotion. Harry watched as Severus smoothed the lotion over his hand.
I want to be careful of the scar, Severus said. I'm concerned that it might react poorly. So I'm going to apply this lightly to start and see if anything happens.
Harry rested his arm on the arm of the chair so that he wouldn't have to strain to hold it up. Severus gently applied a thin layer of lotion on the back of Harry's hand. He used one hand to apply the lotion and the other hand to hold it steady. He watched the scar carefully and was relieved when nothing seemed to happen.
Good so far, Severus murmured.
He applied more lotion to the entire hand and spread the lotion around, between the fingers and just beyond the wrist. He moved firmly but gently to work the lotion into the skin.
I'm not hurting you, am I? Severus asked.
That feels amazing. Harry bit back a small groan.
Good, Severus said. Just relax.
Harry sat back and closed his eyes as Severus massaged the lotion into his skin. Severus set the one hand on the arm of the chair and moved to the other side to work on the other hand. Severus worked carefully on the other hand, covering the skin thoroughly and massaging the hand. By the time he was finished, Harry had dropped into a light doze. Severus had come prepared and unshrunk a book he had in his pocket. He didn't open it immediately, watching Harry sleep. He looked even younger as he slept. Harry's eyes fluttered open. Sorry, didn't mean to fall asleep on you.
Not a problem, Severus murmured. It's been about an hour, so you can do whatever you had planned for the afternoon.
I'd ask you to stay, but I'm meeting Ron for dinner, Harry replied, yawning. Hermione's working late, and it's a good chance for us to catch up. You're welcome to come, if you'd like.
Thank you, no, Severus demurred. But I'd like to apply the lotion for you again tomorrow. I want to make sure there's no reaction around the scar.
Harry flexed his fingers. They already feel better, although the massage was excellent. Sure, tomorrow, lunchtime?
That's fine, Severus agreed.
Deciding he wasn't going to get much else done, and that he had nothing brewing that needed attention, Severus went off to the pub for the evening.
Your friend not coming? The barmaid asked.
Not tonight, Severus replied.
It was interesting to be able to talk about other people and know there was no hidden agenda involved. Her question was just a friendly inquiry. Severus still wasn't used to that. Severus found himself rearranging his brewing schedule in order to assist Harry with applying the lotion. Harry had offered to do it himself, but Severus held on to his growing thin assertion that he wanted to keep an eye on any reaction from the quill scar. It took almost 3 weeks to hear back from the goblins. A meeting was then negotiated, and Severus found himself in an office in Gringotts, meeting with a goblin who introduced himself as
Rockface, a name I earned as a youth.
Rockface alternated between horror at the use of a blood quill on students and barely restrained curiosity at who it might have been used on. Severus finally had to be overt.
I have agreed to confidentiality with my clients until it is necessary to reveal their names. If you will not respect that, I will have to insist on working with someone else.
What if no one else will work with you?
Rockface asked slyly.
Then I will not waste any more of my time or yours and deal with the problem without your help, Severus said boldly.
Rockface sat back, considering. Severus knew the goblins would be reluctant to help Harry, but hoped their integrity and curiosity would force them to help him. He could help Harry some without their assistance, but a full cure would only come from the goblins. Rockface gave a toothy grin.
Good. There will be information that we'll give only to you, for use on your clients.
That is agreeable, Severus nodded.
A blood quill has not been abused in this way in many years. I'll have to consult with my colleagues. Can you come back next week?
Rockface said. That is more than acceptable, Severus agreed. A week had been more than Severus had hoped for, and he may not even need to reveal that Harry was his patient. That would be best for all. It started to rain again by the time he got home. Severus debated only for a short while before going over to Harry's home. Music drifted down the street as Severus approached. Severus quietly let himself in as Harry played.
That's beautiful, Severus said as Harry looked up at him.
Thank you, Harry said.
Don't stop on my account, Severus said. I'd love to just listen.
Okay, Harry said. Severus made himself comfortable in one of the squishy chairs and let the music wash over him. Harry played for almost an hour, moving from pieces he played fluidly to others that he was obviously still learning. Harry stopped playing on a quiet note.
The pub is still open, Severus said. Fancy a walk and a meal?
That would be perfect, Harry smiled. Severus suddenly realized that he wanted to see Harry smile more, and to smile at him. Over burgers and chips, Severus told Harry what he had learned from his trip to Gringotts. I'll have Minerva see if she knows of anyone else that was tortured by Umbridge, Harry said. Even if she doesn't know directly, she has Filch's detention records and can see what she can find there.
Good thought, Severus agreed.
The barmaid deposited two fairy cakes on the table.
Leftovers from a birthday party earlier, she exclaimed. If you don't eat them, they'll go to waste.
Glad to help, then, Harry laughed. It was still misty on the walk home, and Harry hovered close to Severus. Not totally paying attention to where he was stepping, Harry put one foot into a wet hole and almost stumbled. Severus reached out and grabbed at Harry before he could fall. Harry leaned against Severus for a long moment before moving away. He snagged Severus's hand with a shrug. In case I step wrong again. They walked in silence as Severus contemplated the warm hand in his. Standing at the door to Harry's home, Severus took a small breath and moved closer.
If I'm reading this wrong, you need to tell me, Severus murmured.
Not wrong at all, Harry whispered against his lips. The kiss was as warm as Harry, bright and full of promise. You're welcome to come inside, Harry invited.
Are you sure?
Severus had to take a small step back.
I don't want to do this wrong. I find I like you too much, and it would be unfortunate not to have you in my life.
I'm going to take that as a yes, Harry smirked. He held on to Severus and drew him into the house. Severus gave in to the inevitable.
Yes.
They ended up in the sunroom, on a lounge chair Harry made big enough for both of them. Harry wound himself around Severus and kissed him thoroughly. Severus gathered his breath and looked at a must and delectable Harry.
I shouldn't be doing this, Severus was about to say when Harry placed a finger over his lips.
You're thinking too much, Harry said. He looked Severus in the eyes. This is not about before. That's over and needs to be forgotten. I like the person you are now. Harry wriggled against him with intent. And I think you like me back.
Brat.
Severus leaned back in for a kiss. You're brat, Harry said softly.